started here in just a moment, have a word of prayer, maybe take a few testimonies, praises, and then we'll go through forward a little bit further in our service. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Father, we do thank you for the joy of fellowship, the joy of spending time with our family and church family. I pray your blessings upon us. Father, I pray that you help us to put away the cares and concerns of the world and the outside weather, Lord, and just enjoy the time together as we worship together and praise you together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Brother Hunt is jumping up and down, can't hardly stand. He's got to tell somebody he wants to share a praise tonight. All right, if you have your prayer list there, if you came in tonight, don't forget on the back side, number 12 for the Lovegrove family. And then also, go ahead and keep it there. I'm going to point a couple of things out before we go into our prayer request. Number 7, the Gravasi family. Number 9, the Johnson family. Those are two families that are retired. Still a little bit involved in missions, but not on the field full-time any longer. Coming up in the new year, there's a lot going on. Come January, it'll be 3 years that I've been here, and there's a lot of things I've wanted to work on, and there's another one is missions, and we're going to need to come up with some type of policy that we're to adapt for missionaries that are retiring, that we continue the support, that we continue at half the amount as necessary or not on the field for a period of time with a transition, a one-time love offer, some things to talk about. I know when we were involved in missions, every mission board is different, but many of them have some type of retirement program within the mission itself where they can raise some extra money to put aside or do on their own. I know Michelle and I had Roths and others when we were involved in missions started years ago, and continue with those. And there's other programs, and of course, Social Security. Those who opt out of Social Security are encouraged to do something else to prepare for that. But just some things, and that will fall under the proclamation. Remember, there's pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, and proclamation care, which is outreach with a proclamation from the sound room, the website, audio, video, getting the word out, our missions program, all fall under proclamation. And that's something we'll need to set up too in the new year of getting a policy for the church that we do with missions, as well as not only the missionaries that we support, but also missionaries that we come in, and also how long we support them in that. And so some things that we come in, because there's a lot of, I want to be very honest with you, I do not like to come before the church to drop a missionary. I don't. And I would prefer the authority of the church to allow me to do it discreetly, and then, of course, some of the leadership will know people eventually get out, but I hate to do it in a public setting. I'm just going to be honest. People are people. And then people will get wondering what's going on. They'll quit giving the missions. Preacher, are you trying to hide something? No. But I also don't want to stand up and say we're going to be discontinuing a missionary because of immorality or because they were involved in a sex crime they were involved in. It's not good for the church. It's not healthy for the church. In other churches I've been in, I had that authority as a pastor in the leadership church to take care of those things and not make it public, but people will be notified, but not necessarily in a public setting. You have visitors at times, you have members, you have people visiting, but just something I'm just going to mention. If you have a disagreement, agreement, you can talk to me about that later, but there's some things that we're going to need to start up here soon in the third year, in my third year as pastor here, and some other policies within the church, whether it be the missions program and things like that, and missionaries would come in. I like to start having several missionaries a year in. Is it going to be every month? I don't know. Is it going to be every other month, every quarter? At least. And I like to have them more in. It's good to have them. Even if we can't support them, as a former missionary, I know it's helping the church to keep missions before them. And they realize they may not get support, but they'll get some encouragement. They'll get some prayer partners and, Lord willing, a good love offering. But we want to be able to keep missions in front of the church and keep a heart for mission. So that will fall under as well as that aspect of proclamation care that I mentioned, pastoral care, property care, parishioner care, and proclamation care. And, of course, we continue to pray with our new theme coming into the new year of faith, family, and fellowship. And hopefully develop a new theme each year for us to work on and to work together and reach in our community as well as encouraging one another. All right. And then now, Father, we also pray, Lord, for our theme coming up for the new year. And as we prepare to close out a year and go into a new year with faith, family, and fellowship, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we strive together, work together, pray together to not only enjoy the fellowship we have together, but also as a church family, but also reaching and sharing our faith within our community. Now, Father, I pray you bless our time together as we transition into a time of the Word in the book of Proverbs. I pray that you'd encourage and strengthen us, Father. I pray that you'd help me, give me clarity, thought, mind, and speech, Lord, and trust will be a blessing and help tonight to those with listening ears. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I trust everyone has their handouts, and we'll go ahead and get started here. Proverbs chapter number 24, Proverbs 24, and verse number 3 and 4. We'll pick up where we left off last week. Proverbs on abundance. Last week we looked at the gems, G-E-M-S, of abundance. Remember, as hard work and diligence leads to abundance. And tonight we'll look at knowledge leads to abundance. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So the knowledge leads to abundance. Solomon describes the building of a stable, godly home, family, or other endeavor that we may be involved with. See, abundance or blessing can be enjoyed not only by hard work, as we talked about last week, but also by knowledge, So what does Solomon mean by the word knowledge here in Proverbs 23? This word knowledge is from the Greek word deoth, which means knowledge, perception, skill, understanding, or wisdom. So it takes wisdom to establish a stable family or accomplish other great tasks. And what better wisdom can we gain other than godly wisdom by allowing the Word of God to be a part of our life and allowing the Spirit of God to direct us? Solomon said that the chambers of our home or our lives would be filled. Through wisdom is in a house builded, and by understanding is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You see, there is no glory in stupidity and ignorance. However, blessings come from wisdom, discernment, and knowledge. This word means, referring to field, full or abundance. Knowledge can lead to precious and pleasant riches. The word riches here in our passage not only indicates wealth, but it also means sufficiency or enough. And I'll probably get to it a little bit later. I'm trying to remember. I went over my notes a little bit earlier. But if we're not careful, and like the world, we get more consumed with greed and wanting more, and we forget about this aspect or of sufficiency or enough. Is there anything wrong with having abundance? No, that's what we're talking about. But how much can God trust us with abundance? Whether it be finances and wealth, whether it be other areas of our life that we'll be talking about, but those abundance. Again, riches is sufficiency or enough. It indicates abundance satisfaction. Makes me think real quickly of a verse of Scripture that we should be content in those things which we have. Are we content? Beloved, there are other things that are more important than just wealth. And we can use the word wealth and not just finances, but we can use it in other areas as well. A wealth of knowledge, a wealth of wisdom, a wealth of pampered chef things in the kitchen, a wealth of, and we can number those things. And I got some smiles, so I think some of our ladies may have some of that pampered chef. I know my wife does as well. Billy Sunday said this, "The fellow that has no money is poor. The fellow that has nothing but money is poorer still." Money can't buy everything. And some of the most miserable people I've met have been those who had much in many areas but yet did not have happiness. Friend, you will not enjoy your wealth if you do not have sufficient health, if you don't have peace, if you don't have joy, if you don't have faith, if you don't have love in your life, because they are true treasures of life. They are treasures that come from the Lord and by and because of walking with Him. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. So a question that goes along with this, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And I know many that I've already talked to and many that I know here in the room have made that profession. But even still, in using this as a guide, hopefully encouraging others, Paul demonstrated by his life and attitude that this should be a priority in our life. If I have nothing else but my salvation, that's sufficient. Everything else is just a bonus or gravy on top, as my dad used to say. That's just an extra ladle of blessings. Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. I like that phrase, and I would challenge you to search it out, that I may know him. How would you describe a rhetorical question? How would you describe the aspect of saying, I know him? So then my next question is, how would you, outside of salvation, how would you describe your relationship with God? How would you describe to someone else of who God is and what he means to you? Now, we can describe our family. We can describe the layout of our home or our yard. We can describe some other things that we may have in mind, but how do we know him? How do we refer to the Lord? How do we describe him? G. Campbell Morgan said, this is a wow quote, "The proportion in which I know my Lord is a proportion in which I am prepared to serve him." Let that sink in. The proportion that I know my Lord is a proportion in which I am prepared to serve him. Are we prepared to serve him in that capacity? Of how well we know him and what he has done for us individually as well as collectively. To sit down and take an opportunity just to talk of the goodness of God and my relationship with him, meaning you as well, that should be something that is abundant in our life. And because of that abundant relationship, because of that portion that I have with Christ, I want to also give back a portion of that and in proportion in serving him by ministering to others. We should build the house of our heart, and furnish our minds with all kinds of wonderful furniture, knickknacks, pictures, and hold on, and lovely things from the Word of God. So we know, gentlemen, how to decorate a house. We know how to hold up a picture until our wife says it's level and where she wants it. We know how to set up a new home when we move. But what about the home or the house of our heart? How is it set up? How is it prepared? Those lovely things from the Word of God. How do we use the Word of God to feed a section of our heart and our life when we're sad, when we have anxiety, when we're discouraged, when we're distraught, when we know someone who is? Do we have that verse handy and ready to share with them? This encouraged me when I need it, when my heart was heavy or my heart was sad. This was how Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to do all we can in that area of knowledge leads to abundance. And the best way to get that knowledge is from the Word of God, spending time with the Word of God. When I was in Bible college, I was 30 years old. When I went to Bible college, I wasn't the oldest there, but I was older than probably everybody that lived in the dorms. There's others that were married, a few that were single that lived not in the dorms, but lived on the economy. And I had learned a few things being in the military, as far as maturity and responsibility and keeping things and keeping my ducks in a row, gentlemen. And while I was in Bible college, I latched on and had coffee breaks with those that were older than I was. I latched on to those missionaries and pastors and evangelists that came through. If I could get a break and offer them to buy a cup of coffee or bribe them to come over for a piece of Michelle's key lime pie, I did that. I wanted to spend time with them. I wanted to pick their brain. I wanted to be around them. And sometimes, not always, that white hair may signify wisdom. And the gems of abundance, as we talked last week, hard work, diligence. But today, and we'll move on to literacy in a moment, knowledge leads to abundance. Where do we draw our knowledge? Where do we draw our wisdom? Hopefully it's from those that can pull us up spiritually and most especially from the Word of God. Let us see tonight another gem of abundance. Faithful character. Faithful character leads to abundance. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 20. "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." So what is a faithful man? The word faithful is from the Hebrew word emunah, and I may be pronouncing this wrong. I've been away from Greek class many years. It not only means faithfulness, but it also has a connotation of firmness, steadiness, stability, steadfast, and devotion. I think a lot of those things fit right in with faithful. If you're faithful, you're devoted. You're steadfast. You stick with it. You're stable, and you're ready to perform. You take some firm positions. See, those who are hasty to be rich will find themselves in trouble. But in fact, greed and covetousness are inconsistent with faithfulness. Think about that for a moment. Greed and covetousness is inconsistent with faithfulness because greed places a priority on materialism, things, materialism instead of God's approval of our life. I do my best, and I'd have to admit, we all fail at certain things, but I was challenged, and I shared this illustration, I think a couple weeks ago. My college professor, Dr. Dan Truax, who grew up in China, became a missionary in the Sahara Desert, had challenged us in missions class. I already knew I was going into missions, wasn't sure where I was going to go, but God had called me to missions. And he challenged us to pull that blank check out, a white piece of paper, either, Lord, fill in your will for my life and sign your name on the bottom, or, Lord, tell me where to go and I'll go and sign your name on the bottom. And I've tried my best since then to say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to include you in prayer in every decision that I make, to make sure that I'm getting spiritual guidance. I'm using knowledge to guide me. Because if we're not real careful, materialism can lead and pull us away from the God approval in our life. Again, nothing wrong with having things. I've got some as well. The difference is, when greed sets in and wanting more, getting an appetite for things as opposed to a balance in life, not only being able to receive, but also to give. See, greed and the haste to be rich cause people to disregard biblical principles. There's another blank. Greed and the haste to be rich cause people to disregard biblical principles or their conscience in their quest for riches. Through the years, I've met several young men that had a goal of being a millionaire by the time they were 30 to 35 years old. Some of them, I still know who they are. Of course, I know who they are. I know where they are. You know, the majority of those that told me that's what they desired in their life, I don't know one that is, and most of them are not even in church anymore. They were so bent on reaching that materialistic goal that God had to take a back burner, or he got in the way of what they wanted to do. Many like this are prone to do that which is unethical, immoral, or illegal to quench their greed. Again, nothing wrong with having things, nothing wrong with having wealth. We all can't be pastors. I gave the illustration the other day. If God called everyone to preach, every time we met at Harvest Baptist Church, we'd be awful crowded up here on the platform and have nobody to preach to. God needs businessmen, doctors, law. Let me rephrase that. God doesn't need anything. You know what I mean. God uses doctors, lawyers, businessmen, builders, laborers, in any and all capacity to fulfill his great commission. Greed is impatient and is always in a hurry. Greed will cause you to run over anyone who gets in your way, even your family. That's why we must get back to the aspect, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, not hunger and starve, but by being faithful and doing what is right, hard work, as we talked about, and diligence will lead to those other riches, and God will bless. Some may say, business is business, and church is church. They feel that there are different guidelines for living between secular and sacred matters. But I would disagree. Another quote here. Bob Jones Sr. put it this way. There is no difference between the secular and the sacred. For the Christian, all ground is holy ground. And every bush is a burning bush. Jim, we talked about that a little bit Tuesday morning in reference to holy ground and how a generation and a large portion of generations don't recognize holy ground any longer. They don't see it. They don't see the church as a holy place. They don't see their life and opening the word as entering a holy area. But yet, if we're not careful, let's make sure we don't separate those as Christians, because all ground is holy ground. Every area of our life should be devoted to the Lord. Our job, our business, our home, our vehicles, our things should be devoted unto the Lord. Well, preacher, how am I going to use my Pampers Chef stuff to glorify the Lord? By cooking and serving others and having fellowship around God's table, encouraging one another, providing a meal for a shut-in, providing a meal for those who are sick, as we have our program that we have here, and helping people when they're in the hospital or just coming home. Anything and everything that we have and possess can be used for God's glory. The faithful man realizes this truth and does all that he can to guard his walk with God and to obey God's commands, even if his obedience may cost him a loss in wealth. Do you want to obey the Lord, or business is business to gain something more, is what I'm referring to. God is God, holy is holy, no matter what the business opportunity in front of me is. Do these words describe you? Faithfulness, firmness, steadfastness, stability, and devotion. Steadiness. Are these some adjectives that would describe your walk in relationship with God, your walk in relationship with others? I know you've heard it 100 times this year. The year's not over, so one more time. Remember, when we're right this way, it makes it so much easier to be right this way. And when we can't be, and we don't strive to be right this way, it makes it hard to be right this way. Am I right with my spouse? Am I right with my family? Sometimes being right with others is almost impossible. But if we've made the effort, it's not our fault if it's on the other side. Believe me, it can be very difficult in that area. But needless to say, doing our part. Let's see. Are you firm in your faith and fervency for Christ? Are you steadfast in your service for the Savior? You know, I've met people through the military and then working in the HVAC business years ago through high school and early college years before going in the military into the ministry. And of course, mom and dad, the business, and my siblings being in business. There's one thing that I learned on a job site. And when we entered a job site and we prepared to work, Dad always walked through and had us boys and the men that was working with him to walk through the job site. If we got there before he started, to see if there's any tools that were left by someone else, there's anything else there that did not belong to us, to make sure that we put it aside and not get it mixed in with our tools and our things that was there. We also picked up the mess that was left behind by the other crew, because we usually worked in the evenings because Dad worked during the day, started the business. We worked at night. We cleaned up their mess, and then we started. And when we got through, any mess that was left over was our mess, and we cleaned it up again. And the point I'm trying to make is we kept things tidy. We took care of our tools. If it wasn't ours, we put it aside. He'd make sure that the foreman knew or left a note that it was found. He wanted to make sure we kept things together. It's sad sometimes today that some of us have instruments. I'm picking on the ladies again. Instruments in our kitchen. Gentlemen, instruments in our toolbox. Instruments in our tackle box. Instruments in our garage that are cleaner than the most important vessel, ourself, that we have in service for the Lord. Are we prepared? Are we tidied up? Are we clean? Are we doing the things of reference to keeping a faithful character? Not because we want to receive, but because it's biblical. And if we do these things that God tells us to do, He also promises abundance in areas by honoring and doing the things He'd have us to do. So are you firm in your faith? Are you steadfast in your service for the Lord? Are you stable in your spiritual growth because you have made up your mind to make the Lord your master? Sports analogy. We had to memorize a playbook in high school football. And that thing was thick. Our offensive coordinator's name was Chick Granning. He was a former running back for the old St. Louis Cardinals, Chick Granning. He was our offensive coordinator in high school. And then our coach, Emery Hill. And we had Mr. Brewster was our defensive line coach. We had a thick book to memorize. It was broke down in a red, green, blue, brown, and those things met certain things in certain plays. So if the call was played brown 32 or brown whatever, we knew that had to do with that category or a past play, if it was a green or if it was yellow. It was broken down for us to know and to study and to know. And as I look at this aspect, again, are you stable in your spiritual growth because you have made up your mind to serve the Lord, your master? And we were taught in that playbook, this is the play. This is the play. No matter what the defense does, this is the play that is being ran unless the quarterback calls an audible. I had, when I played at times of the fullback in a veer offense, I had a responsibility to that tight end. No matter what he did, he was my responsibility. If he dropped down, I was to knock him on his keister. If he stepped back for a possible option, I was to knock him on his keister. My play did not change. And we as Christians need to make up our mind, no matter what the devil does or does not do, I've already made up my mind how I want to respond. I already know the play. It's character. It's holiness. It's righteousness. It's steadfast. I am firm. I'm steady. And I'm going to be consistent in my faith. See, you will never be able to be any of these things if you're double-minded. You can't be on again and off again. Every Sunday afternoon after church, after lunch, the offense, defense, the whole team met at the high school. And I don't know when our coaches slept from Friday night until Sunday. But every player, every play on offense and defense was graded by Sunday afternoon. The films rolled. At first it was offense. And every position was graded. The linemen, the quarterback, the running back, the receivers were graded. And we went through the whole game by video and pointed out some mistakes that were made. So in other words, if my job was to make sure that defensive end was knocked on his keister and I went there and he decided to step out instead, he's not there, so I turned in to hit the linebacker, I got a poor grade. That wasn't my job. Just because my man moved doesn't mean I go somewhere else. That was my responsibility, because if he did move out on the veer offense and I went to knock him out, he handed off the ball to the tailback. But if the end stayed there and I had to try to knock him down, the sweep went around and he flipped it back to the tailback around the end. My job did not change. The quarterback had to read what that defensive end did and respond accordingly no matter what I did. If I missed my play, he still had to read that defensive end. And dear friends, we need to, as we serve the Lord in our Christian faith, there's some things that we're going to have to read. And it's not always the enemy. And we need to make sure that we're playing our role that God has called us. And if we are double-minded, we can't make up our mind, it's going to be a problem. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, Paul urged us to be steadfast, because he knew the blessings and rewards that come from being faithful to God. A faithful man shall abound in blessings. I'm not preaching a health and wealth salvation, a gospel. Don't misunderstand me. The Bible says a faithful man shall abound in blessings. Blessings come in many forms. Blessings come in many ways. It's a blessing to get a phone call when you think a month down the road I might get in, and I get in Monday. It's a blessing when you get a phone call and the dentist said, somebody canceled, I can get you in Monday, otherwise it's 3 months down the road. That's a blessing to me. As much as I hate a dentist, I'd rather go Monday than wait 3 months. I'm behind already. Need those choppers cleaned. We can count many blessings. It's a blessing to find out there's another doctor willing to give a second opinion. It's a blessing to find out unexpectedly after a great letdown that you get a phone call, you're back on the list. Those are blessings. Those are to me, those are abundant blessings of that which we did not think or expect. A faithful man shall abound in blessings. He needs to be faithful in his task, but also faithful to the Lord and dedicated to the Savior. A couple verses and we're done. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved, a person is pitiful and powerless if he is unfaithful, unreliable, and undependable. Who wants to be described as unfaithful? Who wants to be described as unreliable and unpredictable? A person is pitiful and powerless with those adjectives. He is of little benefit of blessings to God or to man, but a faithful man will abound with blessings. So, are we faithful? Are you faithful? Are we striving to be faithful? 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Matthew 25:23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. All right, next week we'll have our pie and praise. I'm not quite sure where we'll steer away from Proverbs and do something on thankfulness for this next Wednesday night. But please don't forget to be with us. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Enjoy a little bit of time of fellowship with your church family. Get to know each other. Get to know some of our newcomers and new visitors as well before you leave. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray your blessings upon us. As Lord, as we serve you, I pray that you'll be dismissed. Pray, bless us as we dismiss here in just a few moments after our closing song. Lord, help and bless our fellowship. And may we be encouraging and uplifting to one another. And Father, help us all to strive to be found faithful and of good character. In Jesus' name, amen. Love Cherry.